Welcome to Aviation Consumers' continuing podcast series on the latest in aviation products and services. For months, if not years, we've been hearing about Honeywell's new Apex EFA system. We clapped our eyes on it the first time at the NBAA show in Atlanta in a second-generation PC-12. You'll find a full report on the airplane in the November issue of Aviation Consumer. You can check it out at www.aviationconsumer.com. Meanwhile, we interviewed Pilatus North America's chief pilot, Peter Duncan, who gave us a brief tour of Apex.
What we'd like to start with is a basic description of this system. Looking at the picture, which appears on page 12 of the magazine, it's in fact a four-display system. We haven't seen this before, and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the Pilatus Next Generation cockpit utilizes the Honeywell Apex system, Primus Apex system. We went to a four-screen format just to be able to give the pilot kind of the greatest amount of real estate for the cockpit. Probably one of the biggest differences you'll probably see with the cockpit is if you look on the primary flight display, we have all the essential engine instruments right there in the immediate field of view for the pilot. Other manufacturers actually put the engine instruments in what we consider a secondary field of view. So right off the bat, you can actually see a difference right there.
And those in the picture, those appear on the right side of the pilot's PFD and the left side of the co-pilot's PFD. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And are those tape-type presentations?
Yeah, they're actually kind of an arc-styled presentation there. The other nice thing about it is they are the structure with those systems is if a pilot were to have an exceedance, the entire display actually flashes to either caution, yellow, or if it was a warning, a red warning, and you get also an associated voice call out, engine. So there's also an immediate direction as to what instrument is actually affected.
Are there any touch screen functions on that display?
There are. We do have soft bezel buttons along each side of the screen. Each one can activate several things. For example, the multi-mode digital radio. If you'd like to tune in COM2, you basically can touch the soft bezel button next to COM2, as well as we have the other kind of a quick key capability on the multi-function display. A pilot can actually touch the COM button on the multi-function controller and then type in the frequency right there. So we give some redundancy right there, or even just the ability for the pilot to choose what they would like to do, whether they want to dial in the frequency, or they can actually just go ahead and type in the frequency.
I see. Now, let's talk about the screens themselves. We've got two PFDs, one for the pilot, one for the co-pilot, and then there are two center displays. Tell me what those are about.
Yeah, those are basically our multi-function displays. They're actually configurable to kind of meet the pilot's needs. So if the pilot would like to display the engine instruments on a big wide format, they can. Or they can bring those down to what is considered a summary page, and then they have the ability to overlay all the graphical land information, as well as weather, radar, or any host of different types of capabilities. It also allows the pilot to actually look at the flight planning and verify all the flight planning, as well as we have what we call our CAS, Caution Advisory System. That will always be displayed in a one-third window right there.
Now, does there are two PFDs in the center here. Looks like a larger one on top and a slightly smaller one below, or they may be the same size. I can't really tell from the photo. Do those repeat some of the functions that are found in the PFDs as well?
Exactly. We have reversionary modes in all of the screens, and also composite modes. So, say for example, in the unlikely event that the primary flight display on the pilot side were to fail, you can revert all that information on one or both of the displays on the center pedestal. So you can actually put in your attitude and heading, all your engine instruments on the upper display. And then on the lower display, you can revert down to all your other essential instruments, your engine, ICE, all that, as well as still display all the weather, your flight planning information as well.
Now, I assume that the center console MFDs also have some touchscreen functions for controlling aircraft systems?
Exactly. And it just depends on kind of which screen you're at as to what features the pilot can actually actually access. The other nice thing about the MFD on the screens is we have a cursor control device. So that allows the pilot to actually take a cursor and highlight certain areas, hit the enter button, and then a drop-down menu will come down. And then that pilot can actually select from any host of different areas where they want to go direct to that point, possibly hold over it, amend the flight plan. It's very intuitive to the pilot as to what options they would like to do from a kind of a navigational side.
Well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty a little bit. So let's say I want to key in an identifier. I have several means of doing that.
You do. You can, the most probably, the easiest way is probably just to go right to the multifunction controller, right on the keypad, and actually type in the origin where you're at, hit enter, and then it automatically goes to your destination. It defaults right to there. You actually type in that, hit enter, and then from there, you basically can highlight all your waypoints, if you have intersection, airways, your SID or STAR along the way. It's structured so it's very, the limited kind of keystrokes involved, as well as it just kind of enhances that functionality, so it just reduces the workload to a minimum.
Is there also an option on this, not that I particularly want it if I had a keyboard, but is there also an option of using knobs to enter alphanumeric values?
Non-standard alphanumeric values?
Yeah, for example, if you were entering a waypoint that had either all alpha or alpha and numeric, you obviously got the keyboard choice, but do you also, as say on a Garmin G1000, have the choice of using a knob, or is it all keyboard driven?
You have all keyboard, as well as you have the cursor capability to highlight that waypoint if you'd like.
Now, on the lower MFD here, in the photo that we have, there's a Jeppesen approach plate called up. Is the flight library for approach plates always on the lower screen, or can it be either the lower or the upper?
It's optional. Yeah, the pilot is selectable. They can go either lower or upper. It just depends on kind of what they like to see, what's in their best field of view.
And I assume that these airplanes are delivered with a full database?
That will be optional.
It will, okay. And then how
I think you're talking about the JEP charts.
Yes,
will be optional.
The charts. It uses JetView, I assume?
That's correct.
And how do you update that?
That will be updated by a little card. You just basically install it. You can kind of see it on the MF controller right there. It's on the very right side.
Okay, I see. Tell us a little bit about the visual cueing and control system, which is Honeywell's version of synthetic vision, I suppose, or it's their first generation version of it.
Well, the visual cueing control is basically we have a little cursor control. It's basically it's a direct lineage from the Primus Epic system. It's considered what we call the iNav. It's all based on kind of existing technology that has already been in place with Gulfstreams and Falcon jets. It's really kind of a top-of-the-line technology. It is incredibly intuitive, easy to use. We feel that it really gives the pilot the greatest amount of capability in being able to fly the airplane from point A to point B and all different airspaces, and also kind of for worldwide capability.
When you're looking at that, what does it look like?
Oh, you're talking about the synthetic vision system?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a future design that will be incorporated down the road. It will not be with this initial release.
Okay. What's the training load like on this?
You know, the training is actually going to be done by SimCom. It'll be a 6-day course. When I went over to the factory to ferry the first serial number 1001 back to the United States, I was thinking that the training on this was going to be quite extensive and kind of a fairly intensive transfer of information. What I found that it was really intuitive. I basically sat there with the power on and was shown three little keystrokes as to how to put in a flight plan, and then the chief test pilot there said, look, I'm just going to give you some time just to get familiar. I'll be back in about 30 minutes, and I'll just want to see kind of how far you get.
Mm-hmm.
Literally within 10 minutes, I was able to put in and adjust flight plans immediately. So I think the ability for a pilot to come in and transition into this cockpit is going to be incredibly intuitive and easy. Simcom's developing a high-definition four-screen simulator. It will be certified and up and running by February of 2008. And also, Honeywell's developing a computer-based software program so that a pilot can come in, go online, and they can get familiar with the entire system prior to even attending SimCom. But I was just incredibly overwhelmed by how simple and intuitive the system was. There was literally one thing that I had to do to kind of get over, and it was literally how to amend the flight plan. And once I found that, wow, it just, the door opened up, and I was able to kind of do just about everything I wanted. So literally it took about 10 minutes of orientation just on my own without any instruction, and I was able to kind of operate the entire system, no holds barred.
One last question. I assume that this is WAS and RVSM capable right out of the box?
That is correct.
And when will it be delivered, or is it being delivered now?
Our first deliveries are going to be at the second quarter of 2008.
Second quarter of 2008. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us, Peter. I appreciate it.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Pilatus North America Chief Pilot Peter Duncan. Don't forget, you'll find a full report on the airplane in the November issue of Aviation Consumer. You can check it out at www.aviationconsumer.com. There's also video on this topic. You can see that at avweb.com. You've been listening to our continuing podcast series on the latest in aviation products and services from Aviation Consumer Magazine. For breaking general aviation news, log on to avweb.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Thanks for listening.